Welcome to Making Positive Psychology Work for Communities, the special podcast series focusing on Midland County, Michigan, an area in the Great Lakes Bay region of Central Michigan, where we have been working with community leaders to test practical ways that intelligently apply the latest research in human flourishing, so that together, this community can better navigate the incredible challenges and opportunities that we're all facing today. Midland is using well-being and change science to fulfill their vision of together, forward, bold, an exceptional place where everyone thrives. I'm your host, Beverly Wenzel, co-creator of the Certificate in Applied Positive Psychology and the Certificate of Creating Well-Being. What I love about being part of the work in Midland, Michigan is watching all of the momentum and change that we've been building. Since 2018, we have trained and certified over 100 Midland community leaders in applied positive psychology, well-being, and positive change. After several months of live virtual training, participants present impact projects, which are an application of what they have learned. They are coached, and as they iterate on and execute their projects simultaneously, for collective impact on a part of the community or workplace where they have influence. Thank you so much for joining me for episode 4 of Making Positive Psychology Work for Communities. I'm so glad you're here because today we're talking to a great community leader, Kimberly Houston. Kimberly is a perceptive change agent and an inspiring leader. She has a belief in fairness and respect for self and others. She's retired from Dow Corning Corporation and is active in many local, regional, and state organizations. What Kimberly loves about being part of the collective impact well-being work in Midland is that individuals now have the ability to see, think, and understand differently from the perspective of well-being, which is based in a wealth of research in applied positive psychology. Welcome, Kimberly.
Hey, Bev, that's a mouthful. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
Great. It is great to see you.
I'm excited to be here with you and that I'm just so honored that you agreed to do this podcast with us. I'm sure our listeners will appreciate your insights as much as I do.
Well, I have to say it's great to see you and it is a privilege and also a pleasure to be here just to be able to share a little bit about well-being and work I feel very passionate about. I feel it's really a part of my spirit and my soul.
Well, having had the honor of calling you friend for some time, Kimberly, I can see how that plays out in your life.
Oh, thank you.
So tell us, Kimberly, what drew you to this world of positive psychology and to the certification, but the world of it as a whole?
Well, as I said, I think it really speaks to my spirit. I'm a very positive person. I think I'm one who always was looking for the silver lining when things didn't go well. And I'm always asking, well, what did we learn and how can we grow and how can we do better? Curiosity is one of my top 5 character strengths. So I think that's a part of it speaking to my spirit and speaking to my soul. I'm also a good team member. And also a leader. And I do enjoy working collaboratively and collectively with other individuals to accomplish results. And I also love creating new approaches to things. I'm really an application-based person. I'm a change agent at heart. I'm always looking for new ways of doing work. And I have my master's degree in organizational development and analysis. And this work really is experiential. And as you know, an OD, we say it feels very OD-esque. It feels like you're in an organizational OD space where some change is happening because it happens cognitively and culturally. And also what you're looking for is behavioral change in that work. So I think that's what really drew me to the certificate. I remember seeing Maureen. We were both getting our nails done at the salon. It was like meeting on the golf course, you know, in a different light. And we sat there and I think I had just got done and I hadn't seen her in a long time. And that's Maureen Donker for those in Midland who probably know our wonderful mayor. And I said, so Maureen, what have you been up to? And the first class was going. And I said, you didn't invite me to participate and I was retired, you know. And she says, Kimberly, if we have this class again, I'll invite you. And she did. And it has been quite a ride, but I was excited just to hear about what the first class had done and what they were doing and the certificate they were getting. I was very jazzed about it. So again, it just really spoke to who I am as a person and my spirit.
Well, that's fascinating, Kimberly, because in so many ways throughout your career, you have had such a positive influence on the people around you, the organizations and the community. So in some ways, you know, I could naturally see you being part of this positive psychology community and being that changed leader that got us to this point even before we officially went down this path. So I think that that's pretty cool. And I thank you for everything that you've done.
This has truly been a blessing. And I do recall people, when you retire, people say, why are you doing that? And I remember saying, it just felt like it was right for my spirit right now. And I didn't know exactly what it was. I didn't know the depth of it, you know, of all the things that we learn. But I think there was just a moment when it was like, this is the place that I'm supposed to be right now. And all this wonderful stuff, all these beautiful things will come as a result of it. And I'll be able to use this in my work. I had no idea how, but I just kind of felt that is what would happen. Yeah.
Can you kind of elaborate a little bit on how this has affected you both personally and then professionally? And even though you say you're retired, I know that you're still so actively involved in everything. I'm still going to use the word professionally, but you know, how has this deeper dive into this world of positive psychology and well-being really impacted you?
You know, when I started answering these questions, when I saw it, and what I talked about first was it providing me with a new frame, but I wrote for working and living. And probably going back and looking at it, I would say actually for living and working, which is a different, you know, puts things in a different order. And I think that that's important in terms of, you know, how we begin to prioritize things in our lives. And I think I am in a transition space. I am retired. And I tell people I'm semi-retired because I do love sort of this construct for me of adding value. So I wanted to say that. And I also want to say out loud that I am not trying to live my life semi-retired the way I lived my life when I was working, because I do want actually a different life at a different pace. So, but what this has, the way it's impacted me personally, and I'll talk about really professionally and working first, it's provided me with new tools. So I use, especially, I love character strengths. I love the value in actions, the VIA character strengths. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I love them is because I see them as a way to help people understand what their gifts are. And, you know, my background is in diversity, equity, inclusion, social justice. So that's an area that I feel very passionate about. And I've had, you know, a lot of professional experience in that work. And I speak to that. And I always use VIA because it gives everybody a seat at the table. So that's one that I think is so impactful because it's the way that we begin to see ourselves differently and the way that we create equity. For instance, I use it in coaching when people get stuck and they say, you know, I'm texting someone and say, how are you? And you can feel in the energy that they're down. And I ask the question, how are you using your strengths to inform what you do today? And they said, thank you. And because it's that moment when they say, I know my strengths, I can do this, right? So I love the tool. So that's an example of one tool. And I think it gives you much more of, you know, we talk about appreciative inquiry. It's a different way of asking questions and looking at questions from an appreciative perspective. And I understand, I had the privilege of working with Dr. Cooperrider at Case Western in my master's program. So I learned firsthand about what appreciative inquiry was like 20 years ago. And in that, it was about positive begetting positive. So if you ask a positive question, you will get a positive response, and negative begets negative. So it's about what you put into the universe, and putting how we ask questions is so important. right? And so I just love using and looking at life and looking at my work from an appreciative perspective. How can I ask the question more positively in conversation when I'm writing things to people? How can I write a question that makes people feel included? I can be a little bit directive. I've had those kind of roles where I've had to be directive, and sometimes directive is called for, but sometimes you need to invite people in. You need to make people feel safe. So that's a different tool. And I think just terms, I'm a big language person. So I love terms. And when we think about kind conversations, how can we have a kind conversation? Moving to sort of what I do in my personal life. So I do meditate. I've got apps that I listen to, and, you know, where I'm doing different meditations or I'm listening to music, I'm paying attention to my breathing, right? And that helps me to just center myself every day and to remind myself, you know, make time for that I need to do it. So that's a way I'm using it in my personal life. And it just helps me to understand how to make change differently, both in myself, in my relationships with people, and, you know, kind of in the whole, because, you know, we learned about the model, the me, we, us model, right? It's me, it's we, and it's us. All this work applies to me, who I am and what I need to do and what I need to work on, but then my relationships across with people. And then to me, the work that I do is about the whole. It's about the collective. And I am walking and exercising every day. As I said, I'm breathing, I'm practicing mindfulness and meditation. So those are just some examples of how I'm using it both personally in my life, but also how I'm using it in my work.
So I really appreciate what you said, Kimberly. And one thing that I think about listening to you is how you've done such a beautiful job when you talk about retirement, right? And how you're semi-retired and that you want to do things differently. I love how you've embraced that idea of continual learning, of finding ways to do life differently and do it better, no matter where we're at in life, right? So this is information I wished I'd have had better when I was a young parent. I wished I'd had this information when I was still in school. I watch people come into the certificate in creating well-being from very different parts of pieces of life, different places they are on the path and the journey. And it's so inspiring to see the amount of change and growth it can affect no matter where they're at on that.
Well, and I think what it tells us, I'm naturally curious and love of learning is very high. So when I look at those character strengths, I'm kind of really tilted in that direction because it's probably in my top 10 and 5, right? So I've always lived like that. And this concept of just, I call it like wonder and awe and joy. Those are things that we don't necessarily think about. So I just had a birthday in January. And on your birthday, there was so much energy coming into you. So even, you know, if I was a very low energy person, because people are calling, they're texting, they're posting on Facebook. So you get a lot of love energy, right? That's coming your way. If you have kind of this network of people out there that want to wish you well. And it really, that level of energy, like really lifts you, right? And I told someone recently, I said, wouldn't it be wonderful if we all lived every day like it was our birthday and we were receiving all of that energy? And in some respects, when I look at living life in wonder and happiness and joy, really looking at life that way and feeling it, maybe that's what a part of what it might feel like. But I think if the listeners just kind of think about leaning into that kind of emotion, just allow yourself to feel it. Allow yourself to be happy and to feel joy and to feel positive. And, you know, in positive psychology, we talk about a fixed versus a growth mindset. You know, so there's a moment when you're comfortable where you are and you're in a space. And when I facilitate, I always say, well, my job is to make you a little bit uncomfortable. Because that's how you start to open up and you see things differently. So maybe just challenging ourselves to be more curious, to be more joyous, to lean in to, you know, wonder and lean into things that feel really unfamiliar to us because as humans, we're not wired that way. That's what I learned in positive psychology too. We're not wired that way. We're wired differently in our brains.
So Kimberly, let's talk about your final impact project because I really want to give listeners a sense of what you did and why you did it. So could you describe it a little bit for us?
I focused on women's leadership. I used the concept of wisdom circles because I've been fascinated by that concept. And I also experienced that as a woman leader with a group of a small group of women leaders. We call ourselves the wise women. So if they're out there listening, the wise women know who they are. It was, I think it was, we, you know, wise women book club, and we never really read very many books. We drank wine though, you know? So, but I wanted to focus on helping women leaders grow beyond the challenges of what society expects of us and also trauma, because women experience lots of different trauma, so that we actually show up authentic and well and confident, and we can really be our best in the work that we do. So that was my project. I invited 30 women and I did a regional project. So it wasn't just Midland based. I had a large group of women from Midland, but, and I had some from Bay and I had a women from Saginaw. So I looked at it as a broader program where women could sort of have an opportunity to connect with people that they didn't normally connect to. And the term leaders for me, I use it for anyone who has influence. And I believe we all have that. We don't always tap into it, but we all have it. So I invited these women either by position or by position of influence or by gifts and talents and skills and the potential of being able to influence to a circle. And about 20 agreed to come. And again, it was based on this concept of wisdom or learning circles. And those are ideas that are out there. And the idea of that circle, again, is creating equity. So one of the books I used was called Wisdom Circles, A Leader in Every Chair. And so that was what I did and tried to embed well-being concepts in there, but also giving women sort of space to be safe. I want to share with you, we met just from a construct standpoint, we met three times and there was pre-work, not heavy pre-work, but pre-work each time. So for instance, they had to do, once they did the VIA survey and they did the PERMA survey. So that was, you know, those take about 10 minutes. So, you know, and maybe giving them some questions or reflection questions to think about. And we met three times for about 2.5 hours each time. They did their pre-work and then they gave me feedback in that third session. So that's great. Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. What do you think was the greatest gain from that? What's something powerful that you really picked up on that? That's a lot of energy with that many women leaders together and working towards that good.
I want your listeners to know I was trying to create a space where women could show up differently. And there was also sort of a bit of a ritualistic component to it. And I am in a sorority, so I understand the power of ritual. And so a ritual just to mean a centering, maybe there's a poem. If we had been together in a physical circle, which is what I wanted to do, but you know, we had COVID, so we couldn't do it. We had to do it virtually, but we would be sitting in a circle. Maybe there would be a candle in the middle of the circle. So we would have an opportunity to center. We would have kind of coming together. There would be music. So we had music, you know, we would light a candle, we would say a poem, and then we would invite everyone to share, you know, what they were feeling in that moment. So one question might be, how are you feeling in this moment? And what do you need to leave behind to be present, to start them off, and what they were inspired by or how they were feeling, you know, so we would all come to the middle and we would have that conversation and everyone would be able to give their voice. And we would obviously close out the circle in a similar way, but everybody had voice and we also had ground rules. I thought it was important that we had ground rules and that everybody had those ground rules coming in. And it was really about respect. It was about creating a psychologically safe space for people to show up in the ground rules. And I researched some different ground rules and kind of meshed some things together. But I think, you know, one of the things I did in the first session was just to ask the question, is everybody good with the ground rules? So, and when we talk about learning, what did I learn? I think key learnings there was that women really need a place, and especially women leaders really need a place for self-care. And they really need a place without judgment. They need a place where they can just show up and they're not a title, because we didn't do titles. We just did first names. And it was just like they could just show up as themselves. And the feedback I got, people said, I felt seen. I felt heard. So I think there was a lot to be said about this whole construct of creating psychological safety. And it's hard in our region because we do have a boundary and we have very talented, gifted people. And sometimes these talented and gifted men and women show up with our trauma and our challenges and busy and all those things. And we're competing with one another for positions. Mm-hmm. It creates a space where we're competitive. And this was show up as yourself, show up as Bev, show up as Kim. And we sit and we listen to one another and we feel what others are feeling. And we went through activities and things like that. So we talked about VIA and character strengths and what are your superpowers. And we talked about the Athena leadership model and what is a social emotional leader and meditations. And there was a lot, and we talked about well-being. Where do you need to grow? They took the PERMA. So there were a lot of elements in there, but I think most importantly, women leaders and men leaders need safe mm-hmm. spaces where they mm-hmm. can show up and they can just sit. And I felt good by the second session because when women came, it was like, I know what to expect here. I can just relax. And they did it very quickly because, you know, we did the same ritual and all of a sudden they could just sit and they didn't have to participate. You know, we did dyads, we did some group things, but I mean, there were moments when if they just felt like I want to listen right now, they could do that. So that was what I created and I'm trying to determine where to go next.
I love that. So I guess I'm curious, like, what would you do differently next time? And like, what would you suggest to others? Someone's trying to write the whole inspiration behind this is these impact projects and how really quite easily and naturally we can just put these into our community. What do you suggest?
So what I would suggest first is to lean into their passion, their gifts, their talents, their purpose, and use well-being to bring to life something they're dreaming about, something they're passionate about, something they want to change. That's kind of the really big thing. On a personal level, I probably am a person who is very achievement driven. So I pack in a lot and mm-hmm. I have, you know, high expectations, et cetera. And there's a moment when you just need to breathe and allow the experiential to happen. Because I think there was just moments when I, you know, you put too many, maybe, I don't want to say parameters, but there was a lot in there and you have to leave so much for the gray because it is experiential learning and you have no idea what's going to come up. And there was a moment we were having a conversation and this group was very diverse age-wise, so probably everything in age from, I'm going to guess, 25 to over 60. So quite an age range and very diverse racial and ethnic diversity. So Hispanic and African-American and Asian. And then you had this construct of geography, Midland Bay Saginaw, that was kind of in that space. So I think you don't really know when you're in a space and you're learning, a learning space is experiential, where something is going to always take you. So I think just being open to, you might have the thing facilitated down to the period and you kind of, some of it may, you got to just kind of go with it and trust the process. and just try some things and just do them in a small group. But I think the point of just psychological safety, when you're bringing people together, and that's really thinking about well-being. If people are coming in with trauma and feeling broken, you know, how can you really work to create a safe space for everyone that's there and allow them to be heard? Women said, I felt heard. I felt like people listened to my voice. I felt seen. And we had a moment where someone began talking about the relationship that they were having with their young daughter, who I think was in college. She talked about it with great passion and the tension that she was feeling and the letting go. And there was a moment, and because her daughter was culturally different too, because she was a different generation, and this person was of a different ethnicity and nationality. So they were in that space. And, you know, so I was raised here in this other country, and my daughter is here in the United States, and she's younger, and I don't understand. And one of the other ladies said, you have in an instant explained the relationship I had with my mother that I never could understand. And we could not have scripted that to come up. So I think what, you know, again, the suggestion to others is go with the work that you just feel most passionate about. And then the flip side of that is to, you know, really construct a process that builds safety where people can really begin to fire off each other and do constructive, innovative things and use these tools, you know, in that way. Because if you do that, it's going to go all different places.
Yeah, I think that's a great, great lesson to share, is that flexibility. Because when we're dealing with people, there's so much variety. This has been a great conversation, Kimberly. Are you ready for the lightning round?
I am ready for the lightning round.
Okay. So let's start with what well-being practice that you learned in the program has made the biggest difference in your own life and why?
Savoring, because I didn't do it.
You know, oh.
So I'm a very action-oriented change agent, goal, achievement-driven person. And there's a moment when you plan it, you execute it, you assess it, and then you say, that was great, check the box off, and then you're on to the next thing. And you don't stop and sit in where you are. And I think the transition to, you know, semi-retired, I've moved out of the state, so I'm in a warmer climate down in South Carolina. So allowing me to like stop and sit in nature, take a break, go to the beach, listen to the waves, not to music, and watch the sunrise. And then when I see other women doing it and other men do it, you know, and they're rushing through their lives and they're not reflecting and they're not, and something great happens and they don't stop to say, oh, they say, I'm going to celebrate later. I said, celebrate later, but savor now.
I love that.
So that's the one that's been biggest for me, because I don't think I really understood or knew how to do that, because I don't sit still a lot. I sit more still now.
I can gain from that wisdom you just shared as well. So thank you. Next question. So in addition to your own impact project, what's something that's happened around the community or as a result of this certificate in creating well-being that really inspires you?
Oh, there is just so absolute much. There's just so much. So I have to say, just looking at what the impact that our class had, and not even being able to understand in 6 months or a year or 18 months where that's even going to go. And how much work has been done with the Wellbeing Coalition in Midland. And it feels like it has a structure and it has footing and it has more foundation. And we're talking about it in new places. So I think just everything that's happening from the first and second class and all the wonderful work that everyone is doing, I think, is what inspires me. And I know that at the macro level, we're doing some research to look at the well-being in the state of Michigan. And I think that work is going to, again, spread through communities across the state of Michigan. And that inspires me. And so the last thing I'll say there too, is I just wanted to mention sort of this pride in Midland, because I lived in Midland for 40 years. I came in 1980, I was 22. I left in 2020, I was 62. So 40 years later, right? And this desire for Midland to be an exceptional community. Mm-hmm. I love that, because it's an aspiration and it's a mission and it's a vision and it's a path, and it's what we all have to do with our lives. And it goes back to that learning. We have to say there's more for us and we can do better, right? And we can be exceptional. And if we shoot for exceptional, we know we're going to be better, right? So that inspires me. And I think just the innovation part of it for me, because as I do work, there's an innovation part for me that I get really jazzed about, because I think that we have the ability to create and co-create together things that are unheard of. So I had an opportunity to work with recently with the United Way. They had an equity summit, and I worked with Kathy Snyder, and we facilitated that. And I think it's that moment when we recognize we have the capacity to do. And I said at the beginning of that session, I said, you know, I'm one who believes that there are enough cookies in the jar for everybody, and that there's not any problem in the world today that we can't solve together. That's the inspiration. And I just see well-being sort of being such a construct. And at a time such as now, at a time such as this, when we're coming, we've been in quarantine for a year. The only person I can hug here is myself. I'm in self-quarantine, right? I'm hugging myself all the time, you know? But I mean, and one of my friends, I talked with him this morning, it's his birthday. He's a educator in Cleveland Public Schools. And today was his first day back because they're starting school again. And the educators are going back to get prepared. And he said, Kimberly, I'll be able to physically be in the presence and the spirit of other and the energy of other people. And if we can come into this space well and teaching people how to come out of this with a greater sense of being well. And, you know, as Louis Aluro would say, learning how and teaching people how to struggle well, that inspires me.
Well, thank you so much for that, Kimberly. And thank you for being on our show today. Thank all of you for listening. Of course, as always, we'll be sure to put these ideas in our Surprising Stories case study ebook, which you can download for free at makingpositivepsychologywork.com/communities. You've been listening to Making Positive Psychology Work for Communities with Beverly Wenzel and Kimberly Houston. If you found Kimberly's ideas helpful today, as I did, and you'd like to pay forward her generosity, then please be sure to share this podcast with a friend or a colleague. If you'd like to learn more about how you can create more well-being and impact in a collective way for your organization or community, please contact us at the Well-Being Lab, where we can help you form a coalition, attract funding for the work that you're doing, and even create positive change for your organization or community that you can scale. After all, remember what Rob Silton said, that people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do. Thank you again, and take care.